I did have three good reasons. One's a very sad one. We had a call early this morning from one of our young couples at the chapel to tell me that they had separated and were having marriage problems. So I had to go and spend some time with them. Second one was that this morning was the morning that my oldest son left for college. Daddy's suffering a little bit of the empty nest syndrome, and the Lord will have to give grace for that. The third reason is I forgot where Tan Tan Road was and just drove straight past it and kept going down Highway 1. And if I was honest with you, the third reason is probably the most legitimate of them all. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. I was going to say we're only going to read the first six verses, but let me tell you that these six verses are packed with so much truth and comfort and warmth. Let's follow along as we read from verse 1 to the end of verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turn back with me into the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The Lord will stamp with his own approval and will bless to us the reading of his word. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being here this morning, gathered in this place in thy presence, knowing from thy word that thou art here in the midst of us. Father, we thank thee for the word of truth that thou hast given to us. We pray as we come to that word at this moment, we pray that we might hear the voice of the Lord. Speak to us, we pray, to your children, that they may be strengthened and comforted, that, Lord, we may go from this place encouraged. Father, we would cry unto thee for any in this meeting who are not saved. O God, that thou wouldst work that great work of salvation thou wouldst bring them to Christ. So to this end we commit to thee the preaching of thy word, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be exalted in his lovely name. Amen. The last time I was with you, I took the text from Isaiah chapter 12, and I suggested to you that during my visits in the rest of the year that I have with you, we would be looking at the God who has become salvation for his people, and that we would be looking at what God has done that he might be our Savior. Now this morning we're going to look at what God has done that he might be our Savior. Tonight, in the will of God, we're going to look at the God who has become our Savior. We're going to take for our text those words, God is love. There are many people today who depend on those words. They think that God, because he is a God of love, will never ever send anyone to hell for eternity. If we understand our subject this morning, then we will most surely understand the fallacy of thinking that God would never send anyone to hell. When I was with you last time in the morning, we looked at the effect of sin, the effect of the fall. I want to very quickly refresh our memories as to what took place in the history of mankind in Eden. First of all, Adam and Eve sinned against God, and that sin removed the original righteousness in which God had created them. That means, dear friend, that there has been none of the seed of Adam that has had acceptance with God since the fall. Not only did we lose our righteousness that God had given to us, but the fall left mankind guilty and condemned before God. Last Monday morning, I had the joy of leading a man to Christ. The man has been attending our chapel for some months. Went into a little room at the chapel Monday morning, closed the door, and he sat down, and I was just in the act of sitting down, and he burst into tears. He said, "Preacher, I want to know today that I'm saved." And I said, "Well, what's the difficulty about that?" He said, "Preacher, my daddy died at the age when I was 13. And he said, on the day of my daddy's funeral, with all my friends gathered round me, with all my relatives, he said, I publicly cursed God. And I challenged God, if he thought he could, to take my life. And I told God, if he wanted, he could cast me into hell that very moment." That man bowed his head and he said, "Preacher Joe, I just don't know whether I can ever be saved." And I said, "Well, it sounds to me like you've got all the credentials. You're a sinner, aren't you?" And he looked at me and he wept and he says, "Oh yes, I'm a sinner, but can God forgive me?" You know, the glorious message of the gospel is, yes, God can. Thursday night before, I'd led a young woman to the Lord. About 4 weeks ago, I led her husband to the Lord. I sat in her home and she looked at me and she said, Mr. Gould, I wrote to my mother last Friday and I told her, I said, Mom, I've sat in church every Sunday for 5 weeks and I've wanted to be saved. And I know that God wanted me to be saved. And I know that the preacher was pleading with me to be saved, but Mom, I just don't feel good enough. And as she said that to me, I said, you mean bad enough, don't you? And I could see the light of the gospel opening in her mind, and she said, that's it, isn't it? I could never be good enough. You see, the Word of God teaches us that God's Son came into this world to die for men and women who through the fall and who by very nature are guilty and condemned before God. And if you've never come to that place of knowing that you're a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, if you've never come to the place where you know that God looks down and His condemnation rests upon you, my dear friend, you could never have been saved. Man in Eden through sin, his nature was changed from being guiltless to being sinful and guilty before God. Man died. Spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. This morning, I want to tell you that everything that was lost in Eden, and much more, has been restored in Christ. The question that both the people that I led to the Lord in the last 10 days have asked me is this: what have I got to do? You know the answer is a tremendous answer. Nothing. God provided a Savior who did it all. I want to say this to you. The Word of God teaches with great clarity that God provided one Savior. We read together in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Thomas says to the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to these words. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, what about the millions? The millions throughout the world, and they have all their own religions and they're all trying to get to God different ways. Let Jesus answer the question for you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My father-in-law died about 4 years ago. One day we sat in his home in Liverpool and we were talking about he was talking about religion and I was talking about the gospel. He looked across the room at me and he said, Joe, your way is too narrow. Too narrow. You've got it all pushed in too tight. You need to loosen it up a little bit. And I said to him, well, let's start with one Savior. Would you prefer me to tell you that there's two or three or four people who can save you? Would it be easier for you to come to terms with the fact that there are three or four or five ways of salvation? Of course, the answer is God's answer. God says, no man comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, beloved, the gospel is a very simple message. I remember an old preacher saying to me, the problem with the gospel is, Joe, the simpler you try and make it, the more confusing you make it. If you'll just let the gospel stand in what God says, then the glorious simplicity of it will shine through. And the glorious simplicity of it is this: God provided one Savior. And that means He provided one way of salvation. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis. You don't need to read into Genesis very long until you come to chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very wrong. And his countenance fell. What do those words illustrate? They illustrate that right from the beginning there is a way of approach to God that is acceptable with God. And there is a way of approach to God that is not acceptable. And let me say this to you. You can have your own opinions. You can get angry at the thought of there being one way that's acceptable to God. Cain did. Cain's way of coming to God was rejected by God. Now, it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with this preacher. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with any other preacher. You had better make sure that the way you're depending on getting to heaven is acceptable with God. Doesn't matter what man thinks. I remember when I first got saved, everybody around me thought I was crazy. I telephoned a lady whose young boy I used to play, whose son I used to play with in my growing up years. And she told my mom she'd love to hear from me, so I called her last Sunday. You know what she said to him on the phone? Joe, are you still saved? Hey, amen, I'm still saved. Brother Herb used the word unsaved. There's no such a thing as unsaved. They're saved and lost. Unsaved suggests that you were saved once, but somebody's undone it. Can't be undone. There's one Savior provided by God. There's one way of salvation provided by God. And there's just no other way. Now, if you're in the meeting this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't know the only Savior who can ever take you to heaven's glory. You don't know the only person who can ever deal with your sins. You see, when God says there is one Savior and there's one way of salvation, He means that He has provided a Savior who could do everything that you needed. And I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Brother sang for us about the old rugged cross. God's way of salvation is through the Christ of the cross. God's one way of salvation was to send His Son and allow His Son to die for you, for me, for your sin, for my sin. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Stories told of old Gypsy Smith. He was preaching in the open air in Liverpool, and there was a man who had been drinking in the open air meeting. And he started shouting at Gypsy Smith and heckling him. And Gypsy Smith quietened him down and just kept on preaching. And Gypsy Smith said, God sent His only Son to die for the worst sinner in the world. This man began to cry, and Gypsy Smith looked down, and the man looked up at Gypsy Smith and he said, Preacher, I have 5 sons. And I wouldn't give the worst of my 5 sons for the best that this world has. Gypsy Smith looked down and he said, But the God of heaven gave His only Son for the worst that this world has. You see, that's the gospel. That God has provided one Savior. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. See what that's saying? There is one God and there's one person who can come between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And then it says this, who gave Himself a ransom, a payment of the price, for all to be testified in due time. You know, the Bible has some tremendous statements about what Jesus Christ did in His death. The Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us, Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Have you ever realized what Calvary was all about? Have you ever realized that there on that cross, the Son of God took all your sin, took all the wrath of God against your sin, took everything that could ever keep you out of heaven, and He bore it all in His own body on the tree. You know, I'm convinced of this, that we as believers
are very often like the 10 lepers who were healed. If we realize the truth of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, there would never be a day go by that we didn't get on our knees and thank God for all that He's done for us in the person of His Son. There are those in this meeting who are not saved. And your message to God is very clear. Your message to God is either, God, I don't need your Son, or it's, God, I don't want your Son. Jesus told a parable about the man who had the vineyard and he sent his son. You know what those who were in the vineyard said about the son? We will not have this man to reign over. We won't give this man the place he deserves. And there are many today and they say, I'm going to get to heaven my own way. I'm going to deal with my sin my own way. And God says there's only one way. And that one way is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you. Until you come to the place where you say, I want this man as my Savior. I want this man as my Lord to rule over me. You will never be saved. Never be saved. God provided one way of salvation. He provided one Savior. And you could be saying to Him today, God, I don't want your Son. I don't care how much it cost you. I don't care how much it cost him. I don't want him. Standing in a lumber yard one day and a man came in and he said, Preacher, you're just the man I want to talk to. He says, I have a friend and I've been trying to convince him that there's a place called hell. He says, I've showed him what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel chapter 15 and I've showed him all the things that God says about hell. And I said, tell me, have you ever read to him the story of the cross? And he said, Preacher, what would that do? I said, you read to him about Calvary and you tell him that if God did this to his son for my sins, He will most surely send me to hell if I tell him I don't want his provision and I don't want his son. You see, for we who are saved, we can't understand. How can anyone who knows they're going to live for eternity want to miss heaven? How can anyone who knows they're going to live the lifetime of the God who created them, how can anyone say, I'd rather go to hell? I've said many times, if hell was for 1 hour, I still wouldn't want to go. But hell is for eternity. For those who know not God and obey not the gospel of God's Son, it's for eternity. I want to finish this morning by looking at how man provides his remedy for sin and how God provides his. First thing man does about sin is he does all he can to ignore it. Really does. All this talk about sin, it's not important. God's a God of love. What about all these things that are happening around the world and you think the God of heaven is going to be worried about
about me breaking one or two of his little rules? Does God take sin seriously? Did God ignore sin? No, he sent his son to die. And if you need to see how seriously God takes sin, look at the cross. The man who ignores sin is like the fool that saith in his heart, there is no God. Well, man says, well, it may not be right, but I'm never going to have to give an account for it. It's wrong, you know. My Bible says that one day the dead, small and great, are going to stand before God. And God's going to open the books. And God's going to judge. He's going to judge. What's the standard of judgment? He's going to judge them out of those things that are written in the books. Let me tell you, this is one of the books that's going to be opened. The Word of God. Man ignores his sin. I want to tell you, he does it at his cost. Can you imagine being in hell for all eternity? Remembering that you chose to ignore sin that God said needed to be dealt with. Man not only ignores it, he denies it. Well, I don't think it's wrong. You know, I want to say to you, in my conversations with people, the one thing I have heard more over the last 5 years are the words, I think, or I don't think. And I don't mean to be rude when I say this, and I don't mean to be unkind. If you're in this meeting today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, what you think isn't worth a hill of beans. Because if you're going to pit what you think against what God says, you're going to lose right from the beginning. I hear Christians saying it. I think, why do you need to tell me what you think when you can tell me what God says? The gospel doesn't stand in what people think. Paul says that this book is a revelation of the mind of God, and I'd far rather know what God thinks than I'd rather know what any Christian or any other person thinks. You see, if God says it, it takes all room for thinking out of my mind. All I've got to do is accept what God says. Man wants to argue whether sin really is sin or not. God says it's sin. God's word tells you his standards. And then when man can't ignore it anymore and man can't deny it anymore, man covers it. Tries to hide it from God. And man's remedy for sin ends up in hell. There's only one covering for sin, and that's the covering that God has provided in the person of his Son. What's God's remedy for sin? I wonder if I was to ask you this morning to tell me what a person needs to do to get saved. I wonder, could you tell me? First thing the Bible tells us is we've got to confess our sin. You know what confession of sin means? You want to know what it means? You go read Psalm 51 when you go home today. David looks at his sin, the whole lot of it. And he says, Lord, my sins are ever before me.
He says, Lord, I can't blame anybody else on them. I can't lay them to anybody else's account. The sins you're dealing with are mine. I've had the joy of seeing hearts opened as they realized that God had provided for their sin. And all they had to do was come and confess. God's remedy for sin is that you come as a sinner. I had to tell that young woman last week, if you wait until you're good enough, you'll never come. Never. You'll be waiting until you're able to do what Christ has already done. Turn with me in your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to show you something that God has challenged my own heart about in my preaching. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want you to grasp two words. Believe and receive. The man that I sat with on Monday morning of this week, he believed every word of the gospel. But he had never received Christ as his personal Savior. And I know many people today, and they can tell you the gospel from A to Z. They can even take you to the Word of God and show you where God says it. You could never question whether or not they believe the gospel. But they've never come to that place in their lives where they say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to receive you as my Lord. I want to receive you into my heart and life right now. It doesn't say that everybody who believes on them, he makes them the children of God. It doesn't say that at all. It says, but to as many as received him. You see, if you look at the word before, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So there are two types of people today. There are those who have received Christ Jesus, and there are those who have received him not. There are those who have said, yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to deal with my sins. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to make me your child. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to make my eternity secure. The Bible says they're saved. Never, ever going to be a time when they're not saved. But for those who have never received him, God says he has prepared a place of eternal torment. And the only thing a sinner has to do to go to hell is to do nothing. Just keep refusing to receive God's Son. Tell me, where do you stand this morning? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you received Him as the one Savior of sinners? Or do you sit in the meeting this morning and say, well, Jesus, I believe, but I've never received. Word of God says the gift of God. What do you do with a gift? You receive it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one God of heaven offers through the one Savior one way of salvation. The gift of God to every person that will receive Him. He'll make them the children of God for all eternity. And it comes down to a very personal question. Not between you and the preacher, but between you and God. Have you or have you not received my Son, Jesus Christ? If you haven't, I would plead with you, don't leave this place this morning until you receive Him as your personal Savior. I don't care what you've got to do. I don't care how busy your life is. You need to come now and receive Jesus Christ personally. Make sure of your eternity. Let's bow in prayer together. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the great love that sent Your Son to die. And the wonder of all wonders that He died for me. That He paid the price that was necessary so that I could be saved. Father, I thank You for that day in my own life's experience. And I received Him and all the wonders of salvation. Father, we pray for any in this meeting today who've never received Him. We pray, our Father, that You would by Your Spirit move upon their hearts, that they may see themselves as guilty sinners before You. And, O God, our Father, that even today they may come and receive the Savior. Bless Your word to our hearts. Help us to see that it is indeed the very word of God. We ask all to the glory and praise and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just say that I will be at the door. There are others who will be able to help you. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you've received Him even in the meeting this morning, please talk to us. Please let us know. God bless you.